I want to welcome those of you that were here this morning. I'm so glad that you have returned to join us once again in our worship of our dear and lovable God. And at the same time, I want to welcome those of you that are here for the first time visiting with us. It is of great encouragement to this good congregation and to me that you have come our way. We're here for the purpose of worshiping God. In our worship, we sing, we pray, and because today is the Lord's Day, we have the opportunity and the commandment to remember the death of Christ. The death of a man that makes salvation possible. And what an honor it is for us to come together in so beautiful peace and tranquility to do so. Thank you for coming, and we invite you to come back and be with us as we progress through this gospel meeting. I want to put in your mind two lessons that I have decided to preach. Monday night, Lord willing, we will be addressing one of Satan's favorite tool. And that tool, I will tell you right now what it is egotism. That's for tomorrow night. Tuesday night, it may surprise you that I have selected a subject that is so popular in our time and in our country. I will be speaking on the dangers of civil government. The dangers of civil government. This is Tuesday night. So now that I have that off my chest, you now know what to expect upon your return Monday and Tuesday night. I'm still working on a sermon for Wednesday night. So help us out. Come back and be with us. We'll just be tickled to death if you can come back and be a part of our worship. There are four gospels that register the life of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John's record is loaded with detailed information concerning the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Out of those four Gospels, John stands out as having information that you will not find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I call your attention this afternoon to the passage that we have just read. I will reread it because it is the foundation of our lesson this afternoon. John is addressing a particular time in the life of Christ. It reads, "They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. This particular portion of our reading tells us something happened during this process that Jesus was crucified. John says that Jesus went out bearing his own cross. This is a very interesting statement, which will serve as part of our title for this particular lesson. Can you visualize in your mind Jesus carrying his own cross? Can you visualize our Savior carrying the cross on which he would be crucified and died? We don't want to make more of what it is, but it suffices just to imagine all the drama, the pain, the agony, the embarrassment, all of these and many others that could come to mind as we would sit and discuss everything relating to the death of our Savior. We know that it was not easy for the Lord to carry his own cross, because from the records of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we also learn that he was helped to some extent by a man by the name of Simon. The records are clear that he needed some help. And this man by the name of Simon, we are told that he was pressed into service to help Jesus bear his cross. It is evident that both men, to some extent, helped make possible for Jesus to carry this cross where he would very soon die. I want you to understand that the scriptures help us, to some extent at least, know that Jesus had undergone a very physical, traumatic few hours before this. If you go back to John chapter 19, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you go back to John chapter 18, you go back to Mark chapter 14, you go back to Matthew chapter 27, and you get all of these records together, we are told that Jesus sweat. He was in agony and in pain. We are told that he was struck. We are told that he was beaten, scourged, and a crown of thorns was placed on his head, and he was beaten again. And then he was called upon to carry his own cross. This is the picture that we have. This is the record that we have from this event. This is the climax of a story that was so real, so powerful, so full of information and courage, not only to those people that saw, that witnessed what happened, but even for us today. Jesus suffering even before he died on the cross. But what I would like to do this afternoon is to go to the first record that we have when Jesus informed his apostles about this particular event. And we find this record in the Gospel of Mark. And I want to read in chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Listen carefully or follow along. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." What do you have Jesus telling his disciples? Mark tells us that he spoke plainly concerning the events in his life. He spoke about the coming death. He spoke about the burial. He spoke about his resurrection. These were crucial elements in the life of Christ. And he pulls his disciples apart and he says, I want you to know in detail, plainly, what's going to happen. So what we read in John and what is recorded in the other Gospels concerning those last days in the life of Christ was nothing new. It was evidence, or that is, it was words that were spoken by the Lord to his disciples so that they would be informed. They would not be surprised as to the events in his life. We commend the Lord for telling it like it is. But we have here in Mark chapter 8 what I like to call the cross of duty. Because the whole context somewhat changes from the beginning to the end. Jesus begins talking about his life to the apostles. Peter does not like it, makes a very wild statement. And Jesus takes advantage of the situation to teach concerning the cross of duty, the cross of responsibility, concerning the duty that man has to carry his own cross. But the more I think about this particular chapter, I really think that what this is for us, and what benefits us, is that this is really our cross of duty. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and not only to them, but to the people that were there, that were not followers of his. And he speaks to them about their responsibility, about their duty in the sight of God. And I see here in this particular study some examples, some lessons that we can learn. Let's look at a few of these. Concerning carrying our cross of duty as Christians, the first thing that we learn here is not imitate Peter's reaction. When Jesus spoke to the apostles and told them about his life, he spoke about his death. And we know that Peter rebuked him. Can you imagine? Just think for a minute, Peter rebuking Christ. That sounds out of place, doesn't it? Who in the world is Peter? What in the world is Peter thinking when he looks at Jesus after hearing him say about his death and his burial and his resurrection and rebuke Jesus? What was he thinking? Well, there are several things that we can look at. Contemptuous, shameful, despicable. These are words that come to my mind as I look and hear what the scriptures have to say concerning Peter's reaction. When he addresses the Savior and he tells him, "No, wait a minute, Lord, you don't have any business dying." You know, the Old Testament is full of prophecies, teachings concerning the life of Christ, the purpose of his coming, and how this was going to make possible the salvation, the eternal salvation of mankind. And for someone to get up and to tell the Lord, "Lord, wait a minute, you got this whole thing wrong." That cannot happen. That should not happen. When we talk and speak about responsibilities, when we look at the responsibility that Jesus had, we need to consider that this is not the way to do it. But let me also put before you this afternoon that when it comes to carrying our cross, we must set our minds on things of God. When we hear and read what Jesus had to say about his life and his work and his death, why was he doing it? Well, the only thing that comes to mind, Jesus said that he was here doing exactly what the will of the Father was. How many times do you read in the New Testament where Jesus makes the statement, "I do not come to do my own will, but I come to do the will of my Father who is in heaven"? When we come to the conclusion of carrying our own cross, this should be the motivating factor. This should be the reason behind it all. Why are we living for Christ? Why do I carry my cross? Why am I fulfilling my responsibility before God? It is because I want to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And you know that sums up a lot of things relating to the motives that ought to move us towards fulfilling our responsibility. But let me also suggest, in our carrying our own cross, we must not set our mind on the things of man. And what do I mean by that? Well, when you look at what motivated Peter, and we don't really know what motivated this man to rebuke Jesus, Now I have my ideas, but you didn't come here to hear my ideas. But I have my ideas concerning the things that could have moved Peter to make such a statement, to rebuke the Lord. How about self-serving? How about it when a person is more concerned about self, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow night. When a person has his mind on earthly things, fame and fortune, sensuality, carnality, those are factors that hinder our carrying our cross as Christ did. But these are issues and lessons that come to mind. But let me also suggest that carrying our cross of duty calls upon us to deny self. Jesus said it. He makes the statement that we need to put things that are first, that we must make proper adjustment, that we are called upon to make several sacrifices, to give up some things. We are called upon not even to think about those things. As Christians and as we work together to carry our responsibilities as Christ did, there are a lot of things to deny, to put aside. And some of these are difficult. I'm not saying that these things are easy, because self-control and denying self, as we will talk about tomorrow night, is a real issue in our lives and in our society today. It has always been. So in our carrying our cross of duty, let us consider the need of denying self. But listen to another thing here. When carrying our cross of duty, we must follow Christ. Just as I had said earlier, doing the will of our Father who is in heaven. If you want a good example, and I'm sure we can pick any brother in this good congregation, and someone here has a very good example to follow. But you know, truly, I think that our best example is Christ. When you look at this man going through all of that agony, that shame, that embarrassment, that painful event of dying on the cross, carrying his own cross, do we need a better example? We must follow him. And what does that require? Well, acknowledging. Not only that, but following him with a sincere heart, and then imitating his life. We have so many songs in our songbook that speak about our following the footsteps of Jesus. Seeing Jesus, loving Jesus. These are beautiful songs that express real ideas. But let me tell you, we need to put into practice what we sing. We need to recognize that following Jesus is the best thing over anything that we have on our plate. But let me also suggest that carrying our cross of duty calls upon us to follow Christ on a daily basis. Jesus said it. Jesus makes the statement that we ought to follow him every day. Now I ask you, when is every day? It is the convenient day. It is the reasonable day. It is the prudent day. It is the sensible day. It's every day. Not when I feel like it, not when I think I can, but we ought to do it every day. Following Christ is an everyday event. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we are told about those first Christians that they continue in the teaching, in the doctrine of the apostles. That means that they did it every day, not when they felt like it, not when they could, but they did it on a continual basis. This carrying our cross of duty calls upon us to recognize that this must be done every day. But let me also suggest that carrying our cross of duty may require of us that there are several things that we must do away with, lose, in order to save our soul. Let me put this before you. We must have to deprive oneself of several things to save the soul. We may have to sacrifice oneself to save the soul. We must suffer persecution to save the soul. We must also suffer rejection to save the soul. And we may even have to die to save the soul. So these are things that could happen, that very well could happen as we carry our cross and as we make every effort to follow Christ, to follow His example. He carried His own cross. But please recall everything that He did. Jesus made a statement about this according to Luke chapter 14 and verse 27. And this is the statement that scares me. And I want this statement also to scare you. Listen to what he says. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Are you listening? Do you understand the simplicity of that statement? When Jesus tells His disciples, He tells His people that if you are not bearing your own cross, come after me, you cannot be my disciple. Now that's rough. And you know who's telling us that? The same person that when he was called upon to die for us, he went through agony, through pain, through embarrassment, carrying his own cross and dying for you and me. And then he comes over here and he tells us, bear your own cross, carry your own cross, come after me. And this way you will be my disciple. So what does this teach those that are not yet Christians? It teaches the simplicity of the gospel. Believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and remaining faithful till the end. That's what it calls upon us. If you're not a Christian, you must consider this. That those that are Christians are those that have believed, that have repented, that have confessed, and that have been immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, and are continuing faithfully following the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us? It tells us that we have our own cross of duty to carry. And we have it because Jesus carried His own cross. He's done His part. Can I tell you something else? Jesus has nothing else to do for our salvation. He's done it all. He carried his own cross. He died for us. He's up in heaven. He's done his part. Now it is our responsibility to do ours. And can I also tell you something else? No one in this auditorium is in heaven yet. We're right here in New Caney, Texas. We got work to do, folks. We got a cross to carry, folks. We have a responsibility before us. And that responsibility will be until the day we die, or until the day the Lord returns. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.